Every woman knows the feeling. That quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot. The moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.
This is the Fixer Sciatica Podcast.
So let's talk about butt pain. Oftentimes when you search what is sciatica pain, it's actually going to highlight pain that can be starting at the back, transitions into the buttock, to the hamstring, and then into the lower leg. Unfortunately, there's one big mistake to this statement. The glute and butt itself is actually going to be innervated by a different set of nerves, specifically the superior and inferior gluteal nerves. And although they come off the same nerve roots as the sciatic nerve, which is going to be L4, L5, S1, S2, and S3, sciatic pain is actually an irritation of the sciatic nerve. And the sciatic nerve actually innervates the back of the thigh and anything below the knee. And so although pain in the glute itself may not be actual sciatica, the good news is that management of both sciatica and glute pain are pretty similar and is entirely dependent on the source of pain. And so in today's episode, we're going to talk about what is glute pain, what is the anatomy of the glutes or the hip, and what are some of the common causes as to why this pain occurs, and some pretty effective treatment strategies to help manage something as challenging as glute pain. So let's just start off with what is butt pain itself? And so butt pain is simply pain in your butt, and it could be specifically any one of your glute muscles, but primarily it's going to be your piriformis muscle, which we're going to be able to talk about it a little bit more later this episode. And so I want to give you kind of an idea of the very general treatment strategies to manage this type of pain, and then we're going to go a little bit more in depth. But again, it's going to be really based on the source of pain and how that pain is presenting. So scenario number one is going to be if you're experiencing back and leg pain without butt pain, right? What that will tell us is actually the sciatic nerve and the nerve roots can actually be compressed and irritated. And maybe that butt isn't the cause or the issue of the pain. So we can kind of skip over that. And we're going to be looking specifically at the spine. That's going to be the first thing that we're going to want to assess. If you're experiencing back, butt, and leg pain, it might actually be due to compression of the nerve roots, but you might also be dealing with true compression and irritation at the butt and specifically the piriformis. The order of operations of assessment should be we start most centrally, which is going to be the spine, and we move down to the hip and glute, and then move down to the knee, move down to the ankle, and then really giving us an opportunity to address this in a systematic way. Now, if you're having butt and leg pain, it might actually be compression at the glute, specifically the piriformis. So at that point, we're going to want to clear the spine. Again, we're going to assess it quickly. I like to look at it when it comes to clearing the spine, go into the end ranges of all motions and add overpressure, which is a little bit more pressure at end range. See how that impacts your symptoms. And if it doesn't impact your symptoms, then it's time to move on into the glute itself. And we can actually go into the hip glute complex. So what to do when you're dealing with pain in the butt, right? Now we're going to get a little bit more into detail right now. And so first off, we have to figure out, are we actually dealing with a shortened muscle or a lengthened muscle? And the reality is that most PTs, chiros, trainers, and other people who know how to fix sciatica will often say that your glutes are weak. And you want to hear something really interesting is the fact that a muscle is going to be weak if it's either too lengthened or stretched in a very lengthened position or too short. And in order for us to have them operate effectively, they need to be at the proper length, right? And so that is an image that I want you to think about. It's either the muscles are too tight because they're in a shortened position, or they are lengthened and they will feel tight because they are stretched for too long. But what specific muscles are we looking at in regards to butt pain? Because the butt is probably one of the meatiest portions of our body, right? So I want you to either envision the human body or envision your body. And so we're going to start from the most superficial, the most closest to the surface, and we'll get deeper and deeper and deeper. And the most superficial muscle is the glute max. And if you get a little bit deeper, we have what is called the glute medius. And then deeper to that is what we call the glute minimus. And these muscles in general, the glute complex is developed to actually help stabilize your hip when you're walking and you're standing. In regards to the glute max, which is going to be the biggest portion of your butt, is going to be responsible for hip extension or kicking your leg back, and then hip external rotation, which is going to be turning your thigh out. I say thigh versus your foot, because if you were to look down at your foot and you were to turn your foot out towards the side and just let your foot relax, you'll notice that your thigh will actually rotate inwards. But if you rotate your entire thigh outwards, the whole complex can actually move. And that is going to be the main purpose of the glute max, but also just hip external rotation in general. We move a little bit deeper and we get into what is called the glute medius. And the glute medius is primarily responsible for hip abduction, or kicking the leg out and stabilizing the pelvis when standing on one leg. So imagine keeping your hips level when you lift one leg up, rather than letting that hip move out towards the side. It's kind of like the muscles that prevent you from doing a little hip check when someone's standing right next to you. The third glute muscle is going to be the glute minimus, which is going to be a much smaller muscle, and its job is to actually stabilize the hip as well. Again, trying to keep those hips or pelvis even with each step, and also some possible internal rotation. So that's where we're actually turning the thigh inwards. So when you're doing exercises like kickbacks and clamshells, you're training primarily these muscles. Another major muscle that you often see in the hip or glute that gets irritated and actually presses directly on the sciatic nerve is a popular piriformis muscle. So this muscle itself is actually innervated or stimulated by the superior gluteal nerve or the lower spinal nerves of S1 and S2 nerve roots. So the main action of the piriformis is actually turning the thigh out when the hip is extended or in standing. So I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. And then also abduction of the hip when it's flexed. So usually with buttock pain, this muscle is often the main culprit, and it's often classified as piriformis syndrome, and in some cases, pseudosciatica. You're actually having direct pain on that piriformis muscle, and they can press on the sciatic nerve, which will irritate it as well. I want you to imagine, like, where can you find this muscle? So if you were to feel around on your body, you're looking at the following. It's going to be the bone right above your for lack of a better word, your butt crack. That area right there is called your sacrum. And then if you find the outer edge of your hip, we call it the greater trochanter. And if you find those two spots, the line that connects the two is actually going to be where the piriformis is actually going to be running. And oftentimes, if you are in fact dealing with butt pain, that is going to be the area of irritation. You might be able to find it pretty easily. When it comes to the piriformis, dysfunction of the piriformis muscle can lead to issues up the chain and can present itself as low back pain as well. So what that means is not only can that piriformis muscle press on the sciatic nerve and irritate your leg, but also that piriformis muscle can influence how your body is standing, how your body is moving, and it can actually itself affect how your back is moving as well. The piriformis muscle and glute muscles specifically in general can be painful or have issues functioning due to a couple different reasons. Number one is going to be poor mechanics and movement in general, which means standing, walking, bending over, just doing things. The glute muscles are one of the most worked muscles in our body, and so they move a lot. And what that means is Either you could be moving improperly or inefficiently, making those glutes work too much or not enough at all. The second reason is the fact that it could just be sustained postures. We know that too much of a good thing is not great. Just like when you're eating too many carrots, you're going to turn orange. There's nothing wrong with standing. There's nothing wrong with sitting. There's nothing wrong with walking. But if you're doing this too much with little time to recover, you're going to have the accumulation of stresses over time, which can then present itself as inefficiencies and pain. This episode is brought to you by the Patient Advocate Program. Are you tired of not having support between your rehab sessions? Introducing the Patient Advocate Program, and we're focused on your recovery, and we're offering you 24/7 access to a doctorate of physical therapy. Stop waiting in line to be seen and stop spending hours doing long exercise programs. Imagine being able to get all of your care delivered straight to your phone. Best of all, it's affordable. We believe everyone deserves top-notch relief without breaking the bank. So why wait? Take control of your health today and visit PTPatientAdvocate.com and book your free call with our experts. Here are some common myths that I believe that aren't as accurate or as common as they are should be. Number one, when it comes to managing glute pain or butt pain, strengthening the glutes is paramount. And so I've said this before, a lengthened muscle or a shortened muscle will actually be weak. But it doesn't mean that it needs to get stronger. In fact, if a muscle is in fact shortened and causing pain, trying to strengthen it by contracting, which is going to further shorten it, is going to put more pressure on the nerve and make the muscles even shorter. So that's why I'm not a big proponent of getting people stronger without asking more questions or without trying to get a better understanding of what's going on. Because again, if you're trying to strengthen a short muscle already, you're just going to make that muscle even shorter. Which on the other end of the standpoint, people are talking about, oh, well, you got to stretch muscles as much as possible. Well, if a muscle is in a shortened position and it's causing problems, then yes, stretching out is actually going to be in fact quite helpful. But if you notice that you're going beyond the normal ranges and you're still stretching, this is not something for you. So like an example would be like one of the common ways to manage sciatic pain is going to be the hamstring stretch. People are like, oh my gosh, your hamstrings are so tight. Tight hamstrings means that you are unable to get your foot 6 inches off the ground. So if someone were, if you were laying completely flat on your back and nice and relaxed, and someone were to pick your leg up, and at 6 inches, there was a lot of resistance and they can't pick up your leg any higher. Yes, that is in fact a tight hamstring. But if you can get your hamstring or your leg to about 40 to 5 degrees, even up to about 9 degrees, or even beyond that, you don't necessarily need to strengthen your hamstrings. And so that can be a whole nother episode on just trying to lengthen your hamstrings. The third myth is that the pigeon stretch is a great way to stretch out the piriformis. And although there is some validity to it,
every woman knows the feeling, that quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot, the moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.
What's really interesting is that the piriformis muscle actually turns the thigh out when the hip is bent, and then it also pushes the knee out when the hip is bent as well. So what that means is when you're doing the pigeon stretch, you're actually shortening the piriformis muscle, not necessarily lengthening it. You're really more so addressing the hip capsule, which is going to be allowing the hip to move a little bit more. And I'll call it a piriformis opener in regards to the piriformis stretch or the pigeon stretch, because it allows that piriformis to move throughout its range of motion rather than trying to stretch it out. And it's also not something that everyone needs as well. I think that the pigeon stretch was often overlooked. And what's interesting is that if you go into a pigeon stretch and you don't have that range of motion, you're actually at risk of putting a lot of pressure on your knee. You're also at risk of putting a lot of pressure on your back, especially when you're trying to fold forward. And so after going over like the idea of what butt pain is, the anatomy behind it, and some of the myths associated with butt pain, let's talk about how we can actually fix butt pain that actually may be radiating down into the leg. And the first step to anything, the first step to fixing any sort of problem is to actually figure out what is the source of the issue. That's one of the reasons why I have a huge problem when you're looking at the best exercises for sciatica pain, because you're going to go on the internet and you're going to see, all right, well, maybe the child, you're going to see a list of 13 different exercises. The first exercise is going to be a forward fold or a child's pose. And then the next one you're going to be doing a baby cobra stretch. And the thing is that those are two very different motions and they actually work opposite of each other. And what that means is, although you may be feeling better with a forward fold, you kind of negate the effects by doing a cobra press up or a prone press up. And so the idea is that looking at sciatica, looking at butt pain as just a symptom, and rather than just trying to treat the symptoms, we have to figure out what the cause is, right? And so let's go back to the presentation of pain. So if we go back and leg pain, but no butt pain, we're most likely looking at irritation of the sciatic nerve via the nerve roots. And that can either be compressed via a possible herniated disc, which I have multiple episodes about herniated discs, but then also possibly some sort of arthritic changes as well, degeneration, a narrowing of the foramen or the spinal canals. And so during that time, when you're kind of skipping the butt, we're going to be looking at our usual low back assessment first. So you want to see how your symptoms behave with specific back motions. And so a simple forward fold, also known as flexion, or backwards bend, aka extension, side bending each way and twisting. You want to be able to see what happens there. Ask yourself, do any of those positions actually impact your pain? If you find something that actually feels good or lessens your pain, this is where you want to start and this is where you want to be able to guide your treatment. If you have back, butt, and leg pain, it might actually be due to the compression of the nerve roots or compression at the butt and piriformis. So we're going to be able to do the same low back assessment, but if there's no change in how you're feeling in regards to back motions, then it's time to actually see how your hips move. So examples would be something along the lines of pulling your knee up to your chest, also known as hip flexion. Are you able to kick the leg straight back without moving your back? And we call this hip extension. You'll see this in kind of like the bird dogs or quadruped kickbacks when you're kicking your leg straight back. Are you able to actually turn your foot in, also known as internal rotation, turning your thigh in? And then are you able to turn the foot or thigh out, also known as external rotation? Do any of those positions actually influence how you feel? And if you find that you're actually asymmetrical, then hip motions is actually where you probably want to be concentrating your attention, especially if your back doesn't really have any sort of effect on that butt pain. And again, the order of operations of assessment should be addressing your spine first, so centrally, then move down to the hip and glute, move down to the knee, move down to the ankle. What's interesting is that when you're a seasoned provider with the physical therapist that you work with, chiropractors even working with someone like me, we're going to be able to go through that progression relatively quickly just based off the information that you're sharing with us, right? And so it gives us an opportunity to be able to say, how can we save time? How can we, in a way, there was another episode we talked about, like a process of elimination. When you're saying, I have this pain here, we already know that there are a couple different causes of that pain. And the more information that you tell us, we can start knocking those issues off the list, help refining our treatment approach so you can get better. So we move on to this third scenario, which is going to be butt with or without leg pain. So it might actually be compression at the glute, specifically the piriformis. And so let's clear the spine again by going through a quick assessment, but we may not need to actually spend much time here because it is confirmed that the pain is in your butt and further down the chain. And so at this point, we need to figure out the movement and the muscles of our hip, specifically the piriformis, are they in a shortened position or a lengthened position? And remember, a shortened position means to, remember shortened positionings or shortened muscles, it's important for us to lengthen and stretch it out. While when you have a lengthened or stretched muscle, we want to focus on strengthening and not vice versa. So how can you tell if one muscle or specifically the piriformis muscle is actually going to be short? Here are a couple of criteria. So number one, if you feel pain mostly when you're sitting down and you're limited in hip rotation, so it's hard to turn your foot in and out. So it's kind of hard to do that kind of like hokey pokey motion. And it actually feels good if you are in fact stretching your glutes. So that's kind of like pulling your knee to your chest, pulling your knee across your body. And maybe even that pigeon stretch is going to be helpful, but you notice that you're not able to get into a deeper position compared to the other side. In this scenario, what you'll most likely need is to actually properly stretch the muscles, which in essence is going to be putting out the fires. So then we need to actually ensure that the muscles are operating effectively outside of those stretches. So I'm actually going to be sharing with you a little bit more about that in a second, but it's important for us to know, again, if your muscle is in a shortened position, it doesn't make sense to try to strengthen it right now. It's important for us to lengthen it. And then what you'll notice is that even if we lengthen that muscle piriformis might actually function a little bit better. The other end is, what if your muscle is in the lengthened position? And so you can tell when the pain actually increases with standing, your hips are actually very flexible with turning in and out. You may even notice that when you're squatting that the knees cave in, or you have an excessive arch in your back. You've kind of puffed your chest up. And another area that you can tell if your piriformis is in fact lengthened is if you have flat feet. When you turn your feet out, the arches of your feet collapse, but then those knees and the thighs start to cave in a little bit more. It in essence stretches out the piriformis. And so when the muscles, specifically piriformis, is stretched out or lengthened, this is actually where we're going to want to focus on strengthening the glutes. And so one specific exercise that can be helpful is actually the clamshell. You'll be able to ensure that the knees no longer cave in when squatting or moving. So you want to think about knees out in this position. And remember, muscles just don't get weak in an instant. The key is actually preventing them from getting weaker over time, preventing them from being shortened for a long period of time, or preventing them from being lengthened for a long period of time. And we can do that by actually maximizing our movement mechanics, or improving our efficiency, which the nice thing is that whether you have a long piriformis or short piriformis, you're going to be able to benefit from these five specific action steps, which will help heal your butt pain and your radiating leg pain once you either stretch or strengthen the muscles after figuring it out. So number one, you have to ensure that your abs are firing. So sure, planks are great and all, but when standing, are you actually able to have your ribs stacked straight over your pelvis? If you're looking at yourself in the mirror and your ribs are flaring out, this can actually result in a couple of different things. Number one, your pelvis is going to be rotating forward. Your back muscles are going to get really tight. They're going to be very ropey. And your piriformis either has to clench to stabilize your hip, or your other hip muscles need to do so to support yourself from falling over. And so you can simply address this area by pulling your ribs slightly downward so you can feel like your shoulders, your rib cage is stacked right on top of your pelvis. The second point is going to be addressing the knee position. So I want you to think, whenever you're sitting or whenever you're getting up and down from a chair or even squatting, think about knees out. And what that means is that, in fact, your knees will be tracking in line with the second toe. And so they say that fitness professionals, doctors, they say that you should keep your chest up when squatting and that your knees should never travel past your toes. And I actually disagree with both statements. Number one, when you are squatting, it's okay to let the chest move forward, not down. That allows you to hinge at your hip a little bit better. But in some cases, your knees do have to move past your toes, given how much your ankles are moving. So what I like to fill in is that your knees should be tracking, again, over your second toe, and then they're going to be leaning slightly outward when doing a squat. And this is going to allow the piriformis to do its job to stabilize the pelvis and to take the pressure off of that sciatic nerve. Number three, I talked about this briefly, but we want to be able to fix your flat feet. So more often than not, if you have flat feet, your hips are going to internally rotate, and internal rotation, or turning into the thigh, actually places a ton of pressure on the piriformis. It lengthens it and can actually lead to pain in the butt. So you can fix this with orthotics, but also simply putting the pressure on the outside edges of your feet could be really helpful as well. I have a couple of videos talking all about flat feet on my YouTube channel. I'll put the link in the show notes. Number four is going to be sitting on your sit bones. So what's going to be really cool is the fact that this movement, actually, once you sit on your sit bones, is going to take the pressure off of your glutes. I call it man spreading, which is actually a term coined in New York City for sitting on the subway. But I assure you that this would be less painful than sitting on your butt. And you, whether a man or a woman, man spreading can be really, really helpful when it comes to taking the pain off your butt when you're sitting down. And then number five, you want to keep your hips underneath your shoulders and let them rotate in tandem with the shoulder. So imagine John Travolta's character in the opening scene of Saturday Night Fever. He's rotating his hips and shoulders at the same time. Although he has a little bounce in the steps, you don't have to do that. The hips and shoulders do rotate at the same time, and the hips do not go from side to side. In essence, do not let your hips push out to the side when walking. Don't hip check the person next to you when you're walking on the sidewalk together. And so these are some of the key action steps that I found to be really helpful when it comes to dealing with butt pain, with some pain radiating down the leg. And so although the sciatic nerve can get irritated, it is key to understand why we are experiencing pain in the first place, which is why butt pain or type piriformis could be a cause of sciatica, or hernia disc could be a cause, arthritis could be a cause. And once we can figure out what is causing the pain in the first place, from there, we can actually figure out what to do. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got some help from today's podcast. And for more info, check us out at ifixyoursciatica.com. Have a fantastic and pain-free day. No patient-therapist relationship is formed by listening to this podcast. We are not providing medical advice, and all information should be confirmed by a medical provider.
Every woman knows the feeling, that quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot, the moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.